Welcome to the Information Technology Podcast, sponsored by Do IT Smarter. Knowledge, tools, build, grow. Don't just do IT, do IT smarter.
So I'd like to welcome everyone to the Information Technology Podcast. I'm talking with Howard Podgursky from Docutech in Pennsylvania, and you also have a location in Maryland, is that right?
That is correct.
And Howard, what's your position in the company?
I'm the president of the company.
And usually when I talk with owners of technology companies, they either have a background in technology and they kind of back into the business model, or they're business owners and they feel that there's a value in delivering a technology-type product. Which would describe you the best?
Well, I have a very technology background. Actually, back in the 70s, I got into this industry via the engineering and programming route. Then over the next 15 years, as my career evolved, I went on to hold various positions as an applications engineer in sales, actually a salesperson, and then on to sales management roles.
So what was the biggest transition going from the technology piece to being a business owner?
Well, the biggest transition had to do with the structure of the organization. In these other positions, they tended to be very task oriented positions, and very directed by the companies. As an owner of an owned company, you need to be very goal driven and constantly see the big picture all the time. Actually looking at multiple pictures within the organization.
Having the transparency of what's going on in different departments and how that's impacting basically your bottom line and making decisions around that, is that kind of what you're referring to?
Sure, absolutely.
How has bringing on managed services impacted your organization?
Well, the impact is really been in two specific areas. One is that we actually feel that it represents a complete culture change in how we deliver our services. The traditional VAR systems integrator model is very much of a one path direction, client to systems integrator. The systems integrator model is a multi investment. It's an investment on the client part, and it's a heavy investment on our part to succeed and invest in a higher level of performance and uptime for the client. It's also an investment in understanding their business processes. You know, a good example of that is we had a long-term client for over 8 years, thought we understood their organization well, very satisfied. When we presented the managed services model to them and did the assessment, we found things about their business technology that we never knew. Shame on us.
And so that was doing the best practice assessment?
Of the best practice assessment, correct.
Okay. So what types of things did you uncover that you were unaware of during the best practice assessment?
In the assessment, we actually took a look at their applications, how they were using those applications, and the importance of each of those applications to their business. So we were actually able to put different level of support, a different level of fault tolerance, a different level of disaster recovery. We assigned a different level to each of those applications in the process. Some of them were important to them on a 9-to-5 basis. Some of them were important on a 7-by-24 basis. And some of them only had monthly need or importance.
So it sounds like it was just a totally different experience in doing that best practice assessment versus maybe thinking you understood clearly what was happening in their organization.
Yeah. Not only did we wind up doing a complete comprehensive managed rollout to them, it actually created a significant number of new projects internally for them based on what we found out. And it was easily accepted and recognized by the customer after they discussed those needs. I mean, they found out things about themselves they weren't even aware of.
Yeah, and I think whenever you can create a value like that, Howard, that's really where you become that preferred advisor. And it's a totally different level of doing business with even, you know, your best client, because you don't have the common areas of concern that a traditional company might have, because you are coming from really understanding their needs and understanding the value that you can create with that organization.
Exactly, and that's when you give the customer the confidence in the feel that you care as much about their business as they care about their business. They begin to see how you're investing in them.
One of the things you had mentioned is, in order to be successful in managed services, that you needed to be aware of the need of an external force to kind of transform your business model. And why do you feel that there's a need for an external force to create this type of transformation?
For most of us in this industry, it's clearly recognized that the existing culture of break-fix and project-based work is completely opposite from the needs in a managed service practice, where you're investing in the performance and uptime and the SLAs that a customer needs to run their business with technology. It's everybody in your organization, from the receptionist to the salespeople to the engineering staff, recognizing that our role is to provide a level of performance and not looking for additional billing hours, not to live off of their problems. When a client has a problem in the managed service space, it's a failing on our part. Having our people recognize that that is not a good thing has not been as easy to transition. An external force makes you recognize that point. Number two, an external force is huge in the transition process, in actually keeping the scorecard that DoIT does so well. Going through the first 6 or 7 weeks with Don actually kept us very much on track. In the few times that we wanted to deviate, we said we've committed to this process, and until this is up and running successfully, we're not going to deviate from the process. 3 or 4 months into this, it's worked exactly as advertised.
Well, that's tremendous feedback from my perspective in terms of working with DoIT Smarter. And by all means, I think you brought a lot of that discipline to the table, because I saw the checklist that we kind of have our customers go through in the training modules and the checkpoints that we have. You're all green on almost all of them. I think we have some marketing stuff that we're working on with you right now, but that's tremendous feedback. So what was your experience like working with Don and working with DoIT Smarter in terms of the training process itself?
Well, the experience has kept us on track, number one. That was a big one. In developing the processes for managed services, it was difficult for us to recognize initially that managed service wasn't built around a product, a single product. It was built around an entire series of processes. Don made sure that each of those were reinforced on a continuing basis. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we did in our weekly meetings was actually measured where we were in each of those processes. There was an interesting outcome, a secondary outcome in this transitioning process. It's actually helped improve our level of service with our current project-based work as well. But Don in the training process was very instrumental in making sure that track was maintained.
Well, good. How has it changed your project-based work?
The project-based work has been more process-driven than ever. We make sure that we now have a better understanding. We now create run books for our projects, which we never did before. We did everything with scope of work, but I don't know that we knew enough about the infrastructure all the time that was easily shared with multiple people in the organization outside of the assigned engineer. That's been a big difference.
How do you think you would have approached managed services if you would not have had this type of external force working with DoIT Smarter?
Well, I can tell you how we've done it for the last 5 years and failed miserably at it. For the last 5 years, we kept looking at tools, never considering looking for the best monitoring tools, never considering that a whole set of processes had to be built to integrate the monitoring tools with the rest of the process. That has taken us a long time to recognize that that was our deficiency in how we've been approaching it.
And I think with a technical background like you said that you have, I think it's logical to want to get your mind wrapped around that tool. But what percentage would you say that monitoring is to your total solution right now? What percentage of the core managed service offering is monitoring?
It's a very arbitrary number, but the tool by itself is 5 or 10% of the total value of what we're providing. And in fact, we very seldom talk about the tool by itself. Even with mid-sized clients that tend to be more tech savvy, the discussion of whose monitoring tool it is seldom, if ever, comes up. At least to this point in our discussions. We feel that if we get to that point, we've already gotten off track.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that, you know, from my experience, it's maybe 15 to 25% of the total solution in terms of the ability to, you know, monitor a network remotely. It's obligatory to be, you know, as part of your tool. But you're right. I mean, people kind of get wrapped around the intellectual debate over which tool is better. And really it comes down to nailing down your people and your process and being able to have a duplicatable, scalable business model that you can go out and really sell and market.
Exactly. There is another place that we haven't talked at all about the value of the tool. But it's the exact opposite of the customer. It has to do with the manufacturers, the vendors that you choose to integrate as part of your solution into a client. If the monitoring tool includes the components, actually has the specific MIBS agents for the devices that you're putting in there, it makes it a lot easier to integrate a complete comprehensive solution into a client if they're included with the monitoring tool specifically. We're making it a requirement of any vendors or vendor we choose going down the road that they be fully integrated into the monitoring tool. Having discussions with the manufacturer and with the monitoring tool company about that integration has been very helpful on other fronts as well.
Yeah, that's good that you mentioned that. Talk to me about maybe, because I had heard from Don that you had had some specific experiences where you had kind of approached some clients about managed services prior to working with DoIT Smarter, and it seemed like kind of a arduous task to even get them to bring on monitoring, and then after using DoIT Smarter or being, you know, going through our training, the packaging of the core offering and by packaging it all together and selling it, you were more successful. Can you give me some specific examples of some actual experiences that you had as it pertains to that?
Going back to the first client recently that we signed up for our comprehensive solution, we had gone to that client about 2.5 years ago with a monitoring tool and what we consider to be a process driving that tool, couldn't create enough value with the client to figure out how to even get $45 or $50 a month. It actually got to the point where the customer said, I don't even want the tool in here because I'm not sure how disruptive it could be to my organization. 2.5 years later, when we went back to that same client, talking about managed services, but as an entire process, we were able to get over $400 per server in the same environment with exactly almost the same monitoring tool, but with a completely set of deliverables. And I think the customer would have gone higher once they saw the differences in what we were doing.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible, especially when you're in the same environment. You've already had that objection. And, you know, so basically it wasn't just overcoming the monitoring tool. It was really having having that core understanding of their needs and then being able to provide a total solution, not just a piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. It does create a whole different level of enthusiasm and interest with your clients when you properly articulate the value of managed services, unlike the traditional approach, which depends on failures, it depends on break-fix, which are very disruptive to a client. When you can go to them and say that we no longer want to see those kind of problems in your organization, when we're here to eliminate that technology degradation, I'm using Don's terminology there, it really catches their attention. It's the proverbial pay me now or pay me later. And pay me now to keep it up and running, to keep it from breaking, is such a compelling value for managed services. It's hard to argue against it.
Yeah, it's getting to the point now where people are starting to become that much more educated about managed services from an end user point of view. That this is like creating almost like the perfect storm for a lot of our partners, where they're coming to their technology, you know, provider and saying, I want managed services. And they really don't even know what managed services is, but maybe they heard about it or read some articles about it, or maybe they just want to pay monthly and avoid those big bills that, you know, take forever to get paid, you know, 90 days out or 120 days to get them paid, you know, the large bills on a big, crash that happened. And so I see it as kind of like this perfect storm that's kind of brewing, where there's definitely, I see it day in, day out, break fix guys, mom and pop shops, one and two man shops are just totally going away because they can't compete over price necessarily. They can't compete over value. They're losing a lot of their margins on the hardware end. So it's difficult to stay in the industry from that perspective. And so unless they can kind of manifest some type of additional value, they're going to kind of perish. And then the other technology people that I see are people like yourself that have kind of embraced managed services. And now you have a core understanding of how to do that. And it's really a land grab. You know, we see it as once you get your claws into that end user, and once you get them on your type of managed service, they're going to stay with you for a much longer period of time. There's less competition in that arena, and you know, we just see it as this perfect storm kind of brewing.
It's had another very interesting unintended result as well in the organization from a growth point of view. In the project-based work and the break-fix, there has only been a limited number of industry knowledgeable salespeople out there for hire today that you could and would hire. And they wanted big bucks even if you could hire them. In this day of reduced margin, that becomes near to impossible. It has been a factor that is limited to the growth of this industry. In a process-driven business model, we're now finding that we're able to hire lower price, technical, business intuitive people that don't need to have the depth of knowledge technology-wise to succeed. We're actually back in the growth mode again because we are able to hire younger, lower-priced salespeople and put them on the street and have them be successful without the need to be technical experts.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I'll give you a little bit of my background. I mean, I worked for in sales a number of different verticals. I worked for the NBA. I worked for education lending, and then worked in training, you know, prior to coming into, you know, this IT environment. So all of my IT experience, other than just, you know, working on my own computers, has been in managed services with Do IT Smarter. And you're right, you don't have to be that technical. Not to say that I haven't learned a lot about the industry and about managed services, and I would say that I probably have a higher level of awareness than a majority of people out there. However, that being said, you're right. You can have, because it's such a more valuable offering, you can create a lot of value for those end users in such a way that it doesn't really take you know, a PhD to do that.
Where the difference becomes and where the culture change is huge, if you think about this in the past model and the traditional VAR systems integrator model, when you walk in to meet a new client, after you do the small talk and introduce each other, generally speaking, the first question we as the VAR are asking is, so tell me about the operating systems you're using. Tell me about what kind of servers you have. Tell me about your infrastructure. In the managed service model, the very first question should always be, so tell me about your business. So tell me about how you use technology. Tell me how and where it's important.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're saying to the customer, I care. I care, and I'm going to understand how you need this technology, how you use this technology. The assessment portion covers the kind of things that we used to get up front. The assessment is the second or third step in the process, not the first. That's been a very difficult part of the change, but extremely successful for us. And that's what made hiring business people as opposed to technical people so much more doable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Well, Howard, I know that your time is valuable, and I really appreciate you coming on today and having this conversation with me. This has been really, really valuable. I know that, you know, potential partners and the partners that will listen to this are going to be really impressed with this information. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about your experience in working with Do IT Smarter?
At this point, we are 100% committed to the Do IT process. Until we see, and as long as we see, a successful road track of success, we're not going to deviate from it for at least a year. We're not going to get so intellectual here. We're going to feed off of your past experience and success. We're not going to try to reinvent that wheel for a while. That's the thing that we think is going to keep us on track.
And then how much money do I owe you for saying all these nice things about our company?
Just keep up the good work. Just keep the suggestions coming.
Okay.
You know, the investment in one another. I mean, you need us to be successful. We need you to be successful. And I, you know, it is probably more important than ever. In the past, you could easily switch firewall vendors or switch vendors or what have you. If done right here, that's not the case.
We'll talk with you again.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This has been the Information Technology Podcast, sponsored by Do IT Smarter. For more information about Do IT Smarter, please feel free to email your questions, comments, and feedback to info@doitsmarter.com. Now, go Do IT Smarter.